B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Tainis Daf Yud Gimel. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, 16 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Beis Omud Beis. And this takes us back, let's just look back on Daf Yud Omud Aleph. We saw in the Mishnah that if the 17th of Cheshvan arrived and there was no rain, then the individuals would fast three fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday. And then the Mishnah continues there on Daf Yud. Higia Rosh Chodesh Kislev. If Rosh Chodesh Kislev arrived, v'lo yardu geshamim, then Beis Din Goizrim Sholish Taniyos Al HaTzibur. At this point, the Beis Din would decree a fast for the entire public. It wasn't just those individuals and Talmidei Chachomim that would fast. It would be incumbent upon everybody to fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. And in that first set of fasts, those first 3 days, then they would be allowed to eat and drink until the end of the night. The fast would only be during the day, and they were allowed to do melacha, rechitza, etc., as we saw there. Now the Mishnah is continuing from that point, that if Ovru Elu, if the three fasts which the public fasted, starting from the Monday after Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and v'loy nenu, and they had not yet been answered, the rain had not come down, then Beis Din Goizrin Gimel Taniyos Acheres Al HaTzibur. Then the Beis Din would decree a second set of three fasts for the public, and oichlin v'shoisim mib'oidyoim, but this time they would have to finish eating during the day, before the onset of the night of the fast, because the fast is not only in the day, on the Monday day, but also on the night, on the Sunday night, and on the Wednesday night before the Thursday, they would also have to fast, they would have to finish eating before the end of the day. And these three tanesim v'asurim b'malocha, they were not allowed to work, or b'rechitza, on certain works they were not allowed to do, or b'rechitza, and to bathe, or besicha, and to anoint themselves, or benilas a sandal, and to wear shoes, or betashmish hamitah, and to have marital relations, v'noelinus hamarchatzois, and they would lock the bathhouses where people would come and have hot baths. Avru elu, if this second set of Tanesim also passed, v'loinenu, and they had not yet been answered, the rain did not come down, Beis Din goizun alein oid shiva. Now the Beis Din decreed on them another seven fast days. Shehein Yud Gimel Taniyos Al HaTzibur, in total of 13 fasts for the public. And Harei Eilu Yeseiris Al HaRishonis. This last set of fasts, they are more stringent than the first two sets of fasts. Shebe Eilu, in this last seven fasts, in contrast to the first six, Masrin, they would blow the shofar, V'noalin Ezachanuyos, and they would lock the shops. But there's a difference between the Monday fasts and the Thursday fasts. On the Monday fasts, B'sheini, Motin Imchashecha, towards the end of the day, when people had to come and buy food on which to break the fast, then the doors, or the shutters of the shops, were partially opened. They were just tilted somewhat, Motin Imchashecha. Ubachamishya, however, on the Thursday fasts, Mutorin Mepnei Kveida Shabbos, the shops would be open in order to allow people to buy what they need for Shabbos. Ovru Elu V'loinenu, if these now 13 fasts had passed and still no rain, Mematin B'masa Umatin, they would minimize the work they were doing, B'binyan, they would minimize the building, or B'netiyah, and the planting, B'erusin, they wouldn't do Erusin, what we may call an engagement, but in the time of Chazal it was actually Kiddushin, or Benisuin, when they would get married, typically about a year after they got engaged, after the Erusin, something we're going to learn about in Maseches Ksubas, or B'she'elas Sholim bin Adam Lachaveri, and they would not say Sholim to each other, K'bnei Adam anazufim lamokim, like people who are being rebuked and somewhat punished by Hashem, because Hashem is clearly giving us a message, something is not right, and we're supposed to take this message to heart. Hayachidim choizun umisanin, even after these 13 fasts, then the individuals would continue fasting at Shayotzo Nisan until the end of Nisan. And there's a discussion whether this means the lunar month of Nisan or whether it's the solar season of Nisan, but either way they would continue fasting until the end of Nisan. Yotzo Nisan, if Nisan is over, and now V'yardu Geshomim, and the first rain of the year comes down after Nisan, Simen Klola, then it is a sign of a curse. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Haloktzir Chitim Hayoim, it was talking about after Nisan, and there was a curse that was going to befall Klal Yisrael, that the rain would come down then. So you see from there that if the first rain comes down after Nisan, it's the sign of a curse, it's not good. Says the Gemara, Bishlay Makulhu, Ispuhu Tainug. Because we just mentioned in the Mishnah that on this second set of Tainuis, then it's also to work, to wash, to anoint, wearing shoes, marital relations, and locking the bathhouses. So the Gemara is saying that Bishlei Mekulhu Ispuhu Tainug. We can understand those things that give pleasure, and on these fast days we're supposed to minimize in our pleasures. Rechitza, like washing, sicha, anointing, utashmish hamita, and marital relations. Avol melacha, but it should be also to work. Tzarhu, work in itself is not a pleasure. It's a type of a pain, it's the opposite of pleasure. So why should it be also on a tainis? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Chizda, Omer of Yirmiyah bar Abba, Omer Kro. We learn it out from a pasuk, actually. The pasuk says in Yoel, Kitshu Tzoyim, you should prepare the fast day, Kiru and call out, Atzora, a gathering, Isfu Zakenim, and the elders should gather together, Kol Yesh Ve'aretz Beis Hashem Elekeichem, V'Zaku El Hashem. So we see here that the Kitshu Tzoyim, the preparation, the fast day, is somewhat similar to Kiru Atzora. So the literal translation is call together, gathering, you should all come together and cry to Hashem. But the word atzeres is also a term used in the Chumash for the two Yomim Tovim, Shmini Atzeres and Shavuos. So the Gemara is saying, Ka Atzeres, that the Kitshu Tzoyim, the fast days, should have something in common with the Kiru Atzora, with Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres and Shavuos. Ma Atzeres also Brasias Meloch. In the same way as an Atzeres on Yom Tov was not allowed to work, Aftainis also Brasias Meloch. So too the Kir Utoim, the fast days, are also to work. Says the Gemara, Ima Atzeres, if in the same way as on Yom Tov one's not allowed to work already from the onset of Yom Tov in the night of Yom Tov, Aftainis Nami Meurta, then it would seem that the Issa to work on a fast day, we said the Issa to eat starts in the night. But we're going to see later on Daf Yud Gimel that the Issa to do Melacha is only during the day. So the Gemara is asking that if you learn out the Issa Melacha from Yom Tov, it should be also from the night. Answers the Gemara, Omer Reb Zeira, Ledidi Mefarshili Minedi Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Reb Zeira says, I'll explain to you what Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba was saying. Because Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba was bringing proof from the Pasuk. And now we said, if you bring proof from the Pasuk, we have an issue with the Halacha that you're allowed to work at night of the fast. So Reb Zeira explained as follows, that Omer Kro, what he actually learned from the Pasuk, is not to compare the Kachu Tzoyim, the fast day, to the Atzora, to the Yomim Tovim, rather to the Istvu Zakenim, to the time when the elders gather together. Omar Kro Istvu Zakenim, Dumya Dasifa Zakenim, that the Issa Melacha, which indeed the Issa Melacha one learns out from the Kiru Atzora, but it's got to be somewhat similar or associated to the Istvu Zakenim. Ma'asifa Zakenim, in the same way as when the elders gather together for the Tanesim, for the davening, and for the crying out to Hashem, Bayoim, it's somewhat later on in the day, and it's not from the night. Aftzeim Nami Bayoim, so too the fast, the Issa Melacha of the fast day, is only by day, not in the night, because in the night the elders do not gather. Says the Gemara, if you're learning out from when the elders gather, ve'eimu mitiero. If so, the Issa Melacha should only be in the afternoon, because the day is typically split into two. There's the morning till Chatzos and the afternoon after Chatzos. And since the elders do not come first thing in the morning to gather together, so then the morning, or at least part of the morning, is not a time of Isfu Zakenim. So if we were to split the day, then we should just say that the Issa Melacha only applies to the second half of the day, a time where the elders have gathered together, not to the first half of the day that would start at daybreak, where the Zakenim are not meeting yet. Omer of Shisha Breidzer of Idi, Maseye Leila Rav Huna. From the fact that we say that the Issa Melacha is the whole day, it must be that the Issu Zakenim is already very early in the morning and not just in the afternoon. And this is what Rav Huna said, that mitzafra kinufya, that already from the morning they would gather together, and therefore the Issu Zakenim is already in the morning time, and therefore the Issa Melacha is from the morning. Says the Gemara, Hecha Avdi. Now that we learnt in the Pasuk in Yoel that the elders would gather together, what would the elders be doing in that gathering? Omar Abaya. Mitzafra ad palga diyoima, the first half of the day, till chatzos hayom ma'ainim b'mili demasa. They would examine what's going on in the city, all the things that needed to be, to be fixed up. If people were stealing, if there was theft that was rampant, then they would make sure that people would return the theft and ask each other forgiveness. They would make sure that everything was the way it was supposed to be. Mikan ve'elach, the second half of the day, after midday, riv ayoyma, the first half of the second half of the day, the next quarter of the day, korinon basafra, they would read vayachal in the Chumash, in the Sefer Torah, vaftarato, they would read the Haftarah of Dirush Hashem b'imotzoi. Mikan ve'elach, after that, what they would do, is bo'inon rachmi. They would beg Hashem, they would ask and beseech Hashem for mercy. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, in Nechemyah vayokumu al omdom, they would raise in their place, vayikru b'sefer Torah Hashem elikem, that they would read in the Torah, revias hayom, a quarter of the day, or revias misvadim or mishtachvim l'Hashem elikem, and after that, a revias of the day, they would beg Hashem, they would beseech Hashem. So what do we see from there? We see that they would spend a quarter of the day reading from the Torah, and then the next quarter of the day, the final quarter of the day, would be that they would just beg Hashem for rachamim and daven to Hashem. Says the Gemara, I understand that you've got a pasuk that says that a quarter of the day they read the Torah and the Haftarah, and another quarter of the day where they spend their time davening and to Hashem for mercy. But what tells you that those two quarters are the second half of the day? Epechano. Maybe that's what happens the first half of the day, and then it's going to be the second half of the day, which is when they would examine what's going on in the city and make sure everything is okay. Says the Gemara, Lo yisol kodai toch, don't entertain that thought. Tichsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, in Ezra, Ve'eila yi'osfu kol chorid b'divrei ele Yisrael, and to me they would gather all those who hasten, in Hashem's words, al ma'al hagoylo, and for the misdoings of those in exile, v'ani yeshev meshoimim ad leminchas erev, and I will sit till the evening, till minchas erev. And what does it say in the very next pasuk? Uba minchas or erev, which is talking about in the evening, kamti, in the night, at the end of the fast, kamti mitanesi, I got up from my fast, uba korri vigdi, and from having torn my clothes, umi ili and my cloak, ve'echra al birkai, ve'efras o kapai el Hashem elikoi, and I would extend my palms to Hashem. So you see here clearly that the part of the day, which is the beseeching Hashem and asking Him forgiveness for the misdeeds of the people, that was just before the Minchas Erev, just before the evening. So it must have been the second half of the day. So if the second half of the day is the half where they read in the Torah and daven to Hashem, it must be that that's the first half of the day, which is when they examine the deeds of the people. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rafron Bar Papa, Omar of Chizda. Rav Chizda is now going to give two statements, and we have to keep them apart because the Gemara is afterwards going to bounce backwards and forwards, bringing proof and questioning these two halachas independently. So the first halacha is kol shehu mishum ovil. Any fast day which is to do with avil, to do with mourning, could go in Tisha B'Av, for example, the fast day of Tisha B'Av, va'ovil, or somebody in mourning because he's lost one of his close relatives, then any of those fasts, Osir, then when it comes to bathing, which is Osir, bein b'chamin, bein b'tzeinon. He's not allowed to bathe, not in hot water, and also not in cold water. Kol shehu mishum tainuk. However, any type of a fast day, which it's not a day of mourning, it's just a day where we are reducing in the amount of pleasures we're having because we want to feel the pain and bring ourselves closer to Hashem. Could go in Tainis Tzibur, for example, the public fast that we've been discussing. In those fasts, says of Chizda, Bechamin Osir, indeed, to bathe in hot water is Osir, but Tzainan Mutar, but to bathe in cold water, that is okay. So somebody who's in mourning is not allowed to wash himself even in cold water. However, somebody who's just trying to minimize pleasure is allowed to bathe in and wash himself with cold water. Those were the two halachas of Rav Chizda. First halacha, Avelus, is osa even in Tzainon. The second one is kol shum mishum tainug, is mutar b'tzainon. And now we're going to address first this second halacha. Omer of Idi Bar Ovin, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We also learned in the Mishnah regarding this second halacha that those tanyos, those fast days that are not mourning, it's just those days that we minimize our pleasures, that you're allowed to wash in cold water. I have proof from the Mishnah. Because what does it say in our Mishnah? V'noelines amarchatzois. They would lock the bathhouses. Well, what did they do in the bathhouses? They would have hot baths. So you see that the fact that you only lock the bathhouses, you see that only hot water is asr, but cold water is mutter. Omale Abaya. Abaya now questioned Rav Idi Bar Ovin and said, I don't understand your proof. V'itzayin and osir. Just imagine that even on these fast days, it would be osir to wash in cold water. What exactly would you want the Mishnah to say? Do you want to say that we're going to lock up all the lakes and all the rivers? You can't lock up the rivers. That's where people have cold baths and that's where they wash themselves with cold water. You have no control over that. The only thing you have control is the bathhouses. You lock the bathhouses. But how can you bring proof from there that one is actually allowed to have, allowed to wash oneself with cold water? Omer of Shisha Bereda Rav Idi. Rav Shisha, the son of Rav Idi, is now going to explain Rav Idi. It was Rav Idi Bar Ovin who brought proof from our Mishnah. Rabbi asked against him, and now Rav Shisha is coming to the rescue and is going to say, I'll explain what my father meant. Abba hochi kashile. What my father, Rav Idi Bar Ovin, actually noticed in the Mishnah that caused him to ask on the Mishnah and determine from his question that the Mishnah is teaching us this very halacha of Rav Chisda, that one's allowed to bath in cold water on those types of tanesim, was as follows. Mech detnan osur berachitza. Does it just say that you're not allowed to wash? It does say that you're not allowed to wash, but it doesn't suffice with that. It says, Noya linet amerchatzois, lomoli. Once you've told me you're not allowed to bathe, why do you have to add that they lock the bathhouses? That's a very good question, says Rav Shisha. He says, that's what bothered my father of Idi. And Rav Idi assumed from there, elolav shma mino, that the Mishnah is coming to impress on us that bechamin osur, that only the bathhouses, because the bathhouses are hot, that's why we lock them. Babatzainon mutter. But to wash in cold water, you're allowed to, because if it would have been also to wash even in cold water, then the Mishnah would not have mentioned the bathhouses at all. Continues the Gemara. Leimim Asiele, we're going to now bring proof to the first halacha of Rav Chisda. The first halacha of Rav Chisda was that those fast days that are associated to mourning, one's not allowed to have even bath oneself in cold water. I'm going to bring proof. Kol chayvei tvilois. All those people that have a mitzvah to minatayra to toivel, for example, the nida and the yeledes, that there's a mitzvah for them to toivel in a mikvah and to become tohir. Toivlim kedarkom, they are allowed to go to the mikvah as normal, as usual. Bein b'tishabav, even on tishabav, or bein b'yom kippurim, and even on Yom Kippur. Even though on tishabav and Yom Kippur one's not allowed to bathe. But if it's a tvilas mitzvah, if it's a chayvei tvilois, then they are allowed to bathe. And Rashi says here, because since that's the time to do with the calculations, when the Torah allows them to bathe, then they're quickly going to purify themselves at the first possible opportunity, and therefore they can tovel in the mikvah as usual. And now the Gemara is going to discuss. B'mai, what is this brisa we just mentioned now? That kol chayvei tvilois toivlim kedarkon bein b'tishabov bein b'yom kippurim. Is that talking about hot toivl, hot mikveh, or cold mikveh? Ilei mebechamin, if this is talking about going into a hot mikveh, tvila bechamin mi'ika? Is it possible? Is there such a concept of a mikveh which is hot? Shuvin ninu. It says in our version of the Gemara. He says, how are you going to make it hot? You're going to have to draw the water from wherever it is and take it and put it on the fire and heat it up. Well, as soon as you've drawn the water, it's possible to tovel in it. You can't tovel in a mikveh that has drawn water in it. And if it's just a collection of water that's not been drawn, then it's not hot. They didn't have the systems that we have today of heating mikvahs. So it's certainly not when it says kol chayvei tvilois tovlim tvilois tovlim kedarkom, it definitely can't be talking about a hot mikvah. Elolav betzainon, it must be talking about a cold mikvah. And it's clear from what do we see from here that only because it's a chayv tvila, only because it's a nida and a yeledes that has a mitzvah to tovel and a chiyuv to tovel, they're allowed to tovel. So what do we see from here? that Chayve Tvilois in, only the Chayve Tvilois are allowed to toivel in these cold mikvois on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, but in a Shachrina, anyone who doesn't have a mitzvah to toivel, who's not Chayev to toivel, Loi is not allowed to go into such a mikvah on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, and even though it's cold. And this is proof to what Rav Chisda said, that those Tanesim, like Tisha B'Av, which are Mishum Avelus, even cold water, you're not allowed to go into. I have proof from here. That's what the Gemara is asking. Leimim Asiyele, can we have proof from this Braisa for that first Halacha of Rav Chisda? Says the Gemara, Omer of Chono Bar Ktina, Loi Nitzurcha Elo Lecha Mitveri. You do not have proof. It could well be that one is allowed to bathe in cold water. And you're going to ask me, so if so, what's the difference between Chayve Tvilois and other people? We're talking about a hot mikveh. And a hot mikveh, other people are not allowed to go into the hot mikveh because it's hot. But the Chayve Tvilois, Toivlim Kedarkum, they are allowed to. You're going to ask me a question, how do you have a concept of a hot mikveh? Tvila b'chamin mi'ika? Yeah, l'chami tveri, we're talking about a type of a mikveh which is heated. What was that? The hot underwater springs. There are some places which are typical, it's known as Chamei Tveria, where the springs that are very hot, they have the status of a mikveh, and they're hot. And on those, regarding those mikvois, the Braisa says, other people are not allowed to toivel, but the Chayvei Tvilos are a toivlim kedarkon. But if it's a cold mikveh, as Rav Chisda said, I mean, then it could be, then not like Rav Chisda said, it could be that it would be mutter for other people to toivel in a cold mikveh, even on fast days that are Mishum Avelos. That means you do not have proof from that Braisa. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if indeed, as you're suggesting now, as Rav Chono Bar Ktina is suggesting, that the Braisa that says Kol Chayvei Tvilois Tovlim Kedarkon is talking about a hot mikveh, a masefa, the Braisa continues. What does the Braisa say after that? Omer Rav Chanina Skana Kehanim. Rav Chanina, the assistant of the Kehanim, he commented on the Tanakama, and he says, no, you're saying that the Chayvei Tvilois are allowed to toivel kedarkom, even on Tisha B'Av, kedayu beis elikenu, the destruction of our Beis HaMikdosh is a serious enough event and is deserving la'abedel of tvila, that we should not be able to toivel pamachas bashana, once a year. So Rav Chanina was arguing on the Tanakama, you say toivlim kedarkom, and I'm saying no, on Tisha B'Av they shouldn't go into the mikveh. So now the Gemara is saying, I omris betzoinon mutter, if what you're suggesting now is that the Braisa is only talking about a hot mikveh, and indeed the Braisa may well hold, not like Rav Chisda said, that regarding cold mikvois, anybody is allowed to toivel, even not Chayvei Tvilois. If so, if one's allowed to toivel with cold water, and the whole discussion Rav Chanina had against the Tanakama was only in a hot mikveh, how do we understand the words of Rav Chanina? He said, "La'abedel of tvila, it's worth losing a tvila. Why do you have to lose a tvila? Yirchatz betzainan. Go into the mikveh, into cold mikveh." So even according to, that means if the whole discussion is only the hot mikvois, and the Tanakama say that the Chayvei Tvilois are allowed to toivel in a hot mikveh, and Rav Chanina is arguing and saying the Beis HaMikdosh is worth it not to toivel in a hot mikveh, he wouldn't use the term le'abe to lose the tvila, because you have an option to toivel in a cold mikveh. So what we see from the fact that Rav Chanina was, the terms he used was le'abeid, it seems from there that he said even a cold mikveh they shouldn't go into. So we see from there that the Tanakama are saying that Kol Chayvei Tvilois is talking about a cold mikveh, that they're allowed to toivel normally in a cold mikveh. Anyone who's not Chayvei Tvilois is not allowed to toivel in a cold mikveh, and then it's proof again to Rav Chisda, who said that on Tisha B'Av one's not allowed to bath with cold water. Omer of Papa said of Papa, no, I can refute that as well. But Asra Deloy Shchiach Tzainon, it could well be that we're talking about, that the whole Braisa is talking about only a hot mikveh. Indeed, a cold mikveh, a cold bath, anyone can have, not like Rav Chisda. And the Braisa is saying, the Tanakama say that you're allowed to, the Chayvei Tvilois can toivel in a hot mikveh, and other people cannot toivel in a hot mikveh. And Rav Chanina told the Tanakama, no, they shouldn't toivel in a hot mikveh. And not toiveling in a hot mikveh means you're going to lose the tefillah altogether. You're going to ask, why are you losing the tefillah? You're not losing the tefillah, you can go into a cold mikveh. We're talking about Ba'asra de Leishricha Tzainan. There was no cold mikveh. There was only this Chamei Tveria. That was the only option they had. So Rav Chanina responded and said, I understand there's no cold mikvehs, and there's only the hot mikveh. And you Tanakama say that they can be Tovlin Kedarkon in the hot mikveh. And I say it's worth, the Beis HaMikdash is serious enough, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is serious enough that it's worth losing a tevila, because I understand you don't have an option because there is no cold mikveh here. But were there to be the availability of a cold mikveh, anybody would be allowed to tovel in to bathe in cold water, not like Rav Chisda said. So we do not have any proof for Rav Chisda's first halacha. Continues the Gemara Toshima. We're going to now ask a question going back to the second halacha of Rav Chisda. The second halacha of Rav Chisda said that those fast days which are to do with minimizing pleasures, not days of mourning, those fast days, anyone is allowed to bathe in cold water, only in hot water not. So we're going to ask a question from there. Toshima. Kasha Omru Isser Melocha. When we said that there's an Issa Melocha in public fast, in the Tainus Tzibur we learned, you're not allowed to do any Melocha. Or not any Melocha, you're not allowed to do certain Melochis. This is what we mentioned before. This is only a prohibition, even though the fast itself starts in the night, but regarding the prohibition of working, that's only in the day. Aval Balayla Mutar. But at night, the night of the fast, one's allowed to do Melocha. That's first statement in the Braisa. Second statement, Kesha Omru Osur B'ni'ilas HaSandal, when it says that on a public fast day, you're not allowed to wear shoes, Le'omru Elo Be'ir. They only said that in the city, where it's normal to walk, it's comfortable to walk on the streets. Aval B'derech, but if they're going on a journey, Mutar, then you're allowed to wear your shoes. Ha'ketzad, so what should he do? Yoitze L'derech, when he goes out on his journey, Noel, he should then put on his shoes. Nichnas Lir, once he comes back into the city, Chaylitz, he should remove the shoes. Next statement of the Braisa, Ukesha Omru Osur Berachitza, when it says that one's not allowed to bathe on, as we saw in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to bathe on a public fast day, Le Omru Elo Kol Gufoy. They only said that regarding one's whole body. You're not allowed to go into a bath or have a shower where you're washing your entire body. Aval Ponov Yodov Raglov, but to wash your face, your hands and your feet, mutar, that you're allowed to do even on a public fast day. And now the Gemara is saying, and then the last, the Braisa then gives five extra words that seem a little bit cryptic. V'chein atomoitza, the same is true, but menuda, by somebody who's been excommunicated, or ba'oval, and somebody in mourning. And the question is, this v'chein, that the halachas that we just discussed regarding a public fast day also applied to an oval and to menuda, now we have to understand what is that referring to. And once we understand what that's referring to, it's going to shed light on how to understand one of the statements in the Braisa, which is then going to end up being a question on Rav Chisda. So let's see. My love, akulhu. We assume that this statement, that regarding a menuda and an oval, applies to all halachas with the Braisa mentioned. The Braisa mentioned the Issa Melocha, the Braisa mentioned not wearing shoes, and the Braisa mentioned the not washing. All those halachas apply not only to a Tainis Tzibur, but also to an oval, and also to a menuda. Let's now understand when it says that it's mutter to wash ponov yodov araglov. Let's see what's that talking about. Is it hot water or cold water? Ilema bechamin. Is it talking about hot water? Ponov yodov araglov misharu. Is one allowed to wash one's face, hands, and feet with hot water? Va'omer Rav Sheshes said that an oval regarding somebody in mourning, osel lahishet its boy, is not allowed to extend even his finger bechamin into hot water because he's mourning. So assuming that when it says that the halachas of Tainis Tzibur also apply to an oval, to somebody in mourning, and then if, let's assume that, says the Gemara, then when it says that ponov yodov araglov is mutter, they cannot be in hot water because an oval is not allowed to wash even a finger with hot water. El olav, it must be that the Braisa is talking about the betzainon, that with cold water, one's allowed to wash one's feet, hands, and one's face in cold water, and only ponov yodov araglov. But we'll see from there that even with cold water, you're not allowed to wash your entire body. And that's not only the oval, that's also by tainus tzibur, because we assume now that the halachas are the same of an oval and tainus tzibur regarding rechitza. If so, we have a clear proof from this braisa that even on a regular tainus tzibur, you're only allowed to wash ponov yodov raglov in cold water. But in hot water, kol gufa is aser. Not like Rav Chisda said in his second statement that even one's whole body is mutter, said Rav Chisda. Says the Gemara, the truth is that when it says in the Braisa that you're only allowed to wash your face, hands and feet, that's talking about with hot water. On a tainus tzibur, you're allowed to wash your face, hands and feet with hot water, but not your whole body. With cold water, you're allowed to wash your whole body on a tainus tzibur, like Rav Chisda said. You're going to ask, if so, what does it mean, v'chein le'ovel, that an ovel has the same halachas, when an ovel, we know, he's not allowed to even put his finger into hot water? Or the kashya l'chay, if you're going to ask, v'chein atamoytze b'nuda u'be'ovel, ashar okoy, those five words are not talking about the part of the braisa that's discussing washing. It's only referring to the part of the braisa that's discussing the issa melacha. And the wearing shoes, and that those two halachas, the oval and the menuda has the same halachas as tainus tzibur. But when it comes to bathing, not. An oval is not allowed to put even his finger into hot water. A regular tainus tzibur then is allowed to wash his face, hands and feet with hot water. With cold water, he's allowed to wash his entire body, as Rav Chisda said before. Continues the Gemara Toshima. And this is going back to the first halacha of Rav Chisda, where Rav Chisda said that anyone who's fasting, or not anyone who's fasting, anyone who's an oval, sometimes they'll be fasting, like Tisha B'Av, or an oval, a regular person in mourning, then it's Osir Bein Bechamin Bein Betzoinon, who's not allowed to wash his body, not with hot water and not with cold water. Toshema de Omer of Abba Hakoyen Mishum Rabbi Yosi Hakoyen. Maisa, there was an incident, Omeisu Bonov Shar Rabbi Yosi Ben Rav Chanina, the sons of Rabbi Yosi, the son of Rav Chanina, passed away. The Rochatz Betzoinon Kol Shiva. And he was in mourning, he was an oval. And he washed his whole body with cold water during the 7 days of mourning. And this is contrary to what Rav Chisda said. Rav Chisda said clearly that somebody in mourning is not allowed to wash even in cold water. Answers the Gemara, Hosom Keshetochfuhu Avelov. Over there, it was very tragic. There, his two sons passed away one after the other. And therefore, there was one period of mourning immediately followed the other one, which means, so to speak, he had 14 days of mourning in a row. And there it's much more challenging and much more difficult to be able to follow through on that. And therefore, since Kishtachfu Avel of Hava, and we find in a braisa that there are certain leniencies in that case. And we're going to say that in the same way as there were going to be other leniencies we're about to see, so too regarding washing in cold water, in that situation, then it's also one's allowed to be more lenient. What did we see in the braisa? Tachfuhu aveilov ze'achazeh. If somebody unfortunately has a week of mourning that follows another week of mourning, then hichbit sarah, if his hair becomes heavy, it's too heavy on him, meikel batar, he can lighten it by raising off a little bit of hair, umachabe is ksusay b'mayim, and he can wash his clothes in water. That's what it says in the braisa. Omer of Chizda and of Chizda explained that one has to do these things in an unusual manner. Betar, you can cut the hair with a razor blade, avaloi b'misparayim, not with scissors. B'mayim, you can wash the clothes with water. V'loi b'neser, but not with dirt, v'loi b'choil, and not with sand, which was a typical way of washing clothes. So you're allowed to do it b'shinui. And why are you allowed to do these things, says the braisa? Because it's avelus, that is like 2 weeks of avelus, one after the other. It's too challenging to expect them to do that. So the Gemara is saying now also that regarding washing in the cold water, it could well be that, like Rav Chisda said, that a regular oval is not allowed to wash even in cold water. You asked me a question that the Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, he washed whilst he was sitting Shiva. He was allowed to because it was an extended mourning of more than a week, and therefore we were allowed to be more lenient for him. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rava. Another opinion, Rava says, Ovel muta lirchoitz b'tzainan kol shiva. Rava argues with what Rav Chisda said, and he says that even somebody in mourning is allowed to wash his entire body with cold water during shiva. It's no different to eating meat and drinking wine, which is pleasure, and you're allowed to have that sort of pleasure. So washing your body with cold water is comparable to that level of pleasure and is permitted during the week of mourning. Meisvei asks the Gemara, Ein habigeres rasha'o lenavil es atzma bimei evel avia. A girl who's 12 and a half years and is ready, according to the Gemara, she's of marriageable age, she's not allowed to cause herself to be perceived as being revolting in order that people should want to marry her. And therefore, from the age of 12 and a half, even though she's in mourning, and Rashi's second pshat, which is the easier one to understand, means that actually one of her relatives passed away and therefore her father passed away and she's in mourning. Rashi's got another explanation also that it's actually her father who is mourning over a relative of his, and there's a halach of misablin imoy, but I don't want to go through the sugya with that explanation because there's going to be certain challenges there which the Mefarshim discuss. We're just going to read at face value that she has, her father passed away, she was in mourning, and she's not allowed to be menavel es atzma b'me'evil avia. And she has to wash during the week of Shiva in order that she shouldn't be revolting. However, between the age of 12, which is, and assuming that she's biblically, she's got two sires, she's got the simonim that it needs to, that biblically she has the status of being a gedola, she's considered over bas mitzvah, and bas mitzvah biblically is not only a birthday, it's not only a date, it's also, there's got to be certain signs, she's got those signs. So from the age, so under the age of bas mitzvah, if she's a minor, there's no halachas of Avelus. However, over the age of bas mitzvah, all the halachas apply. However, if she's over 12 and a half, and you know, she's at marriageable age and stage, she's not allowed to revolt herself. So the Nara, which is younger than that, is between the age of 12 when she's considered a gedola and 12 and a half, Rasha, she is allowed to and is expected to keep the halachas of Avelus. Says the Gemara, my love, can we not assume that Beruchitza? The discussion here is whether they're allowed to prevent themselves from washing their whole bodies. That a Begeres is not allowed to keep that halacha, and a Naro keeps that halacha. Ubamai, and then what are we speaking about? Ilei mebechamin, are we talking about hot water? That what? That a Naro is not allowed to wash in hot water, and a Begeres is allowed to and possibly required to wash in hot water in order that she shouldn't be manuvel, she shouldn't be revolting, then that's a question. That ein habegeres rasha, are you suggesting that a begeres, a girl of over 12 and a half, is not allowed to keep that halacha and she's allowed to wash and bathe in hot water during the avelos? V'omer of Chizda, did Rav Chizda not say that ovil, that the, regarding washing for somebody in mourning, it's very, very stringent. It's also lahishet etzboi b'maim, he's not even allowed to extend a finger into hot water. So, and since she could wash in cold water, it doesn't make, and if she washes her whole body in cold water, she won't be revolting. It doesn't make sense that one should allow her to wash herself in hot water. Elolav, but Tzoinon, it must be we're talking about washing in cold water, that a Begeres is allowed to wash her whole body in cold water, but a Nara is not allowed to wash in cold water. So we see from here that somebody in Avelus is not allowed to wash the entire body with cold water. And this is contrary to what Rava said. Rava said, Ovel muta lirchoitz b'tzaynon. If muta lirchoitz b'tzaynon, then even a Nara is allowed to wash in cold water, not just a Begeres. And in hot water, we said even a Begeres is not allowed to. So this is a question against Rava. Answers the Gemara, loy. We're not talking about bathing at all. We're talking about bathing. There's no difference between a Begeres and a Nara. No one is allowed to wash in hot water, and they're both allowed to wash in cold water, as Rava said. So what's the difference between the Nara and the Begeres here? We're talking about what type of revolting that's not consequent to bathing, because they can both bathe in cold water. It's mutter to bathe in cold water, says Rava, and then therefore she won't be revolting, and that's not the issue. We're talking about akichel, applying makeup or pirchus and braiding one's hair. That's the difference, where A Nara is not allowed to do those things, however, a Begeres is allowed to. Says the Gemara, we're going to try and bring proof to Rava, that Rava said that somebody in mourning is allowed to wash in cold water. The Omar Abba Koyin Mishum Rabbi Yosi Koyin, we mentioned this before. Maisa, there was an incident, Umesu Bono Shir Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, the sons of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina passed away, Verochatz Betainan Kol Shiva, and he washed in cold water all 7 days. So you see clearly that even though he was an oval, he was allowed to wash himself with cold water. Proof to Rava. Says the Gemara, no, Omri, they said, Hosom Bishatochfuhu Avelov Zeachazeh. In the same way as before, we had the opposite. Rav Chisda said, one's not allowed to bathe. We asked a question from here. Rava says, you're allowed to bathe. We're trying to bring proof from here. But the answer is going to be the same. Over there, it was different. It's talking about there that his two sons died one after the other. And since the two periods of mourning followed one from the other, immediately followed each other, it was too much to expect him not to bathe even in cold water for the full period of mourning. To Tanya, we learned that there's a brisa that shows us that there's leniencies for when there's periods of mourning that follow each other, and we saw this before. Tochfu havelov zeachazeh hichbit zara, if his hair became heavy, mekel batar, he can remove them with a razor. Umechabes ksusay b'mayim, and he can wash his clothes in water. Omer Rav Chisda explained batar avloy b'misparayim, only with a razor blade, not with a scissors. B'mayim v'loy b'neser v'loy b'chol v'loy b'ohol, you're allowed to wash your clothes with water, but not with neser, which was a type of dirt they used to remove the stains, and not with sand, and not with ohol, which is a type of a plant, that you had to do it in an unusual way. So since we see the leniencies when tochfuhu avelov, so too regarding Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen, regarding Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, that he would wash his whole body with cold water because tochfuhu avelov. But there's no question in here there's no proof from here to Rava, that Rava said everybody is allowed to wash with cold water, because maybe he was allowed to do that because of tochfuhu avelov. Continues the Gemara, Ika de Omra, now we're going to have a different version of Rava. Omar Rava, oval osur b'tzoinon kol shiva, similar to what we saw from Rav Chisda before, an oval, somebody in mourning, is not allowed to wash his whole body with cold water during his week of mourning. Now the question is, Maishnomi Bosar V'yayin, why should it be different to meat and wine? Meat and wine is also pleasure, and it's mutter. An oval's allowed to eat meat, allowed to drink wine. So why should bathing in cold water be any worse than that? Says the Gemara that Hosom Lifchuche Pochte, Huda Ovid. The only reason he's allowed to eat, drink wine and meat is in order to ease off and minimize his anxiousness from the death and from his mourning, and therefore he was allowed to do it. But it's not an open ticket to indulge in any forms of pleasure, and therefore washing in cold water is indeed prohibited. Says the Gemara, Lema Masayele, we're now going to try and bring proof to this version of Rava that an oval is not allowed to wash in cold water, similar to what we saw from Rav Chisda early on in the Gemara. And we're going to try and bring proof from the very brisa that we asked a question against the first version of Rava from the Begeres and the Nanara. We're now going to try and bring proof to that. Lema Masiale, the Gemara is suggesting, can we bring proof from that brisa? Eina Begeres v'shoel nelavol atzmo, that a girl of 12 and a half is not allowed to, even though she's in mourning, she's not allowed to cause herself to be revolting. Honara Rasha, however, a girl between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, she's old enough to have to practice the halachas of mourning, but not old enough to be of marriageable age, and therefore she has to keep all the halachas of the morning. But what are we speaking about? Ilema b'chamin, are we speaking about washing in hot water that a begeris is allowed to and a nara is not allowed to? Ein begeris v'shor, she's not allowed to keep that halacha? You're really suggesting that a begeris is allowed to wash in hot water? V'omer v'chizda ovel osu lohishet etzboi b'mayim. As we saw before, somebody in mourning is not even allowed to extend their finger into hot water. Elolav betzoinon, it must be that no one is allowed to wash with hot water if they're in mourning. With cold water, a begeris is allowed to, and a nara is not allowed to. So what do we see from here? That a nara is not allowed to wash in cold water during avelus, and that's proof to what Rava said, that an oval is osur betzoinon kol shiva. Says the Gemara, Loi, there's no proof from there, because it could be that what the Braisa is talking about is not talking about bathing at all. It's talking about Akichel Upirchus, as we saw before, that it's regarding applying makeup and doing up one's hair, that in those halachas, a begeris is allowed to and dinaro is not allowed to. But it could well be regarding washing, then not only is the naro allowed to wash in cold water, but even a begeris, not only a begeris is allowed to, but even a naro is allowed to, everybody is allowed to, and that would be contrary to what Rava said, and indeed then there is then no proof from this braisa to Rava. Omar of Chizda, Rav Chizda said, Zoisemeris, if you're suggesting that the Braisa is talking about that the difference between the Begeris and the Naro is regarding the Kichel and Pirchus means doing up one, doing up one's hair, says of Chizda Zoisemeris, if so, in the same way as one's allowed to do one's hair, an oval Osir B'tachboi says Kol Shiva, in the same way as only a Begeris is allowed to do up her hair, but a Naro is not allowed to do up her hair, in the same way as if she cannot do up her hair, as any oval who's not a begeris in chedabachabul age is not allowed to do up her hair, she's also not allowed to wash their clothes, kol shiva. And Rashi explains here that what Pirchus does to the hair is similar to kibus, washing of clothes, and as we saw, it's similar to, on some level, to rechitza, of the body. That means the different terms of Pirchus, kibus, and rechitza, they mean the same thing. It's like a type of a washing. Just when you're washing hair, it's called pirchus. When you're washing clothes, it's called kibbutz. When you're washing your body, it's called rechitza. So Chizda is saying that it seems from here that in the same way as an oval is not allowed to do her hair, so too that one's not allowed to wash one's clothes. V'hilchasa. The halach is, says the Gemara, an oval is also lirchoitz kol gufoi bein bechamin bein betzainon. Like the Rav Chizda and like the second version of Rava, an oval is not allowed to wash their whole body, even with cold water. Avalponov yodav raglov, as we saw before, regarding washing one's face, hands and feet, bechamin osir, one's not allowed to do that with hot water, betzainon mutter, but it's mutter with cold water. Says, and also, aval losuch, but to anoint oneself, afilu kolshu osur, that's osur, even not just the face and the hands and feet, one's not allowed to anoint oneself whatsoever, because the pleasure of anointing oneself is compared to washing in hot water, which is osur completely. However, v'im la'avir es azuamo, if the reason that they're applying, they're anointing themselves is only to clean themselves from some dirt, mutter, that's mutter, because he's not doing it for pleasure, he's doing it just to clean themselves, and that is okay. Continues the Gemara, we're moving to the next sugya. And we've seen that there's a concept called a tfilas tainis, which what we know is anenu, that one says a special tfilah on the fast day of anenu. So the Gemara is now asking, Tzleiso de Taniso, this tefillah that one says on a Tanis, of Aneinu, Heichu Matcharinon, where do we say it in the Shemoneh Esra? Says the Gemara, Ad Berei Rav Yehuda l'Rav Yitzchok Berei. Rav Yehuda, he led or he taught his son Yitzchok, Rav Yitzchok, v'dorash, and expounded as follows, Yochid Shekibe l'lov Tainis, a private person who's just has his own private fast, Mispalil Shel Tainis. He does say Anenu. This is something we discussed earlier on, but here he's saying that somebody, even a private person who has a tainis, does say Anenu. Veheichon Omra, where does he say it in the Tfilah? Bein Goyel L'Roifa. Between the seventh bracha and the eighth bracha of Shemana Esra, between Goyel Yisrael and Rafa'inu, we says he makes a new bracha, he adds a bracha of Anenu. Maske Flor of Yitzchok. So Yitzchok now is asking, V'chiyochid kevea brocha la'atzmoy. An individual, when davening, is allowed to add a new brocha into the Shemoneh Esra? We don't find such a thing. An individual and his fast is not significant enough that he should be able to create a new brocha and add it to the tefillah. Elom, Rav Yitzchok argued and said, "B'shemea tefillah." In the bracha of Shemea tefillah, then that is a very general bracha. Shemea tefillah, Hashem listens to tefillahs, and in that bracha, you can add in anything. You can ask for anything you want, and the formula of the closure of the bracha, Shemea tefillah, will apply to it. And therefore, you can add in the Aneinu Tfila into Shema Kileinu. The Chenomer of Sheshes, B'Shemea Tfila of Sheshes also held that way. Meisvei, now we are going to ask a question on this. Ein bein yochid letzibur. There's no difference between an individual and the public regarding fasting. Elo shezeh mispalil shmeina esrei. That an individual that davens on his fast day, he davens shmeina esrei. And shmeina esrei actually means 18 brachas, which is the regular shmeina esrei. It's true that if you count our shmeina esrei, there's actually 19 brachas in there. But the one of the brachas, the bracha of lamalshinim, was added in later in Yavne, as we saw in brachas daf chav ches amud beis, and therefore the term used for our tefillah is called shmeina esrei. But it means the regular 19 tefillahs. We don't add on another tefillah. V'loy misparil chasrei, and a yochid does not add on an extra tefillah, which would be called the 19th, really, it's the 20th, but an extra tefillah, he doesn't do that, only a tzibur. By a tzibur, that is where we add on, that is where aneinu becomes an independent brocha. But with a yochid, it doesn't become an independent brocha. But we haven't yet got to the question. So now the Gemara is going to explain. My yochid or my tzibur. All we saw was, in the Braisa, there's no difference between a tainis yochid, a tainis tzibur. The only difference is that yochid doesn't say an extra bracha of aneinu, and tzibur does. What is tzibur? What is yochid? My yochid, my tzibur. Yilema yochid mamash. Are you suggesting that yochid means any private person, any individual who's davening shmeina esrei? Aneinu is not its bracha on its own. The tzibur. And what would be called a tzibur? Would be the shliach tzibur. Would be talking about the chazan when he's repeating the shmeina esrei. He's the shliach tzibur. Is that what the braisa means? That any individual who's davening his own Shmoneh Esrei doesn't turn aneinu into its own bracha, but the Shliach Tzibur, only he makes it into its own bracha? Hani Chasrei. Then we have a question. Because you said that by the Tzibur, there's 19 brachas, because aneinu becomes a bracha on its own. That's not true. As Esrim Arba Hava, we're going to see later on Daf Tezvov, that the Shliach Tzibur on a fast day actually adds in another 6 brachas. He has 24 brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, not 19, not just the extra one. So when it says here that an individual has 18 brachas and a Tzibur has 19, it cannot be talking about the Shliach Tzibur who has 24. El olav, it must be that both of them are talking about individuals. When it says ein bein yochid letzibur, tzibur also means an individual. So what's the difference between yochid and tzibur? If tzibur is not shliach tzibur, is an individual, then what's the difference between an individual called a yochid and an individual called a tzibur? El olav hochiko amar, this is what the Braisa is saying. Ein bein yochid de kibbel elav tanis yochid, there's no difference between an individual who has a private fast day, li yochid de kibbel elav tanis tzibur, to an individual who's fasting on a public fast day. That an individual on his own fast day doesn't make aneinu into a new bracha. He says it in Shema Kileinu. But an individual who's fasting on a public fast day, he says an extra bracha of aneinu. Elo shezeh mitzpalel shmoyne esrei v'zeh mitzpalel chasrei. Shema mino, we see from here, yochid kevea bracha la'atzmo. You see that even an individual, I'm davening my shmoneh esrei on a public fast day, I'm not the shliach tzibur, and I make say aneinu as a bracha on its own. That's what it says. It's a 19th bracha. And this is clearly not like what Rav Yitzchok said, that an individual adds the aneinu into Shema Tfilah, and because he says that v'chi yochid kevea bracha la'atzmi, can an individual may add an extra bracha in Shmoneh Esrei? Yes, he can. We saw in the Braisa that tzibur, which means a public fast day, but the individual can add aneinu as a bracha, contrary to what Rav Yitzchok said. Says the Gemara, loy. I think the Braisa is talking about Shliach Tzibur. That's called Tzibur. Any individual, doesn't matter if it's a private fast day or a public fast day, doesn't make a new bracha for aneinu. The Tzibur is the Shliach Tzibur. You can ask me a question, if it's the Shliach Tzibur, where does the 19th bracha come in? There's an extra 6 brachas. No, I'll answer you as follows. That not all public fast days have those extra brachas. Begimel tainus rishonu is the leka esim va'arba. We saw in our Mishnayos we've been learning here that there's the first fast days, and there's the first group of fast days, there's the second group of fast days, and there's the third group of fast days. When do you make the bracha, the extra 6 brachas? definitely in the third one, not in the first one. The first set is a public fast, and over there you don't say 24 brachas. So the Shliach Tzibur, in the first three fasts of the public fast, he says Aneinu as a bracha on its own. And now the Gemara is asking, V'loi? So is it really true what you just said now, that in the first three fasts you don't add on the extra six brachas? Shemin Esrei is not 24 brachas for the Shliach Tzibur, it's only the other fasts which are that are more severe and you add on those extra brachas? V'loi? V'ha'ein bein k'toni, we learnt in a braisa, ein bein, there's no difference between. What did we learn? Ein bein, there's no difference between gimel rishonos le gimel emtzoyos. We learned that there's three fasts at the beginning, and then there's another three fasts, and then there's a third set of seven fasts. So we said that there's no difference between the three fasts of the beginning, the first three, and the three in the middle. Elo shebe'elu mutorin ba'asiyas melacha. But in the first three fasts, as we saw, one's allowed to work, and the braisa later explains that it's not only work, it's all the other things we've seen. Mutarin basiyas melacha, ube'elu asurin basiyas melacha. But the second set of fasts, and kol shekein, the third set of fasts, they are also with melacha and other stringencies. Ha lechov dalad, but this, the concept of a difference between the first three fasts and the middle three fasts, that the first three fasts you don't have the extra six brachas, and the middle three fasts you do have the extra six brachas, zev zeh shovin. It didn't say in the braisa that that's one of the differences. They're obviously the same. And at this point in the sugya, the Gemara assumes that the middle bracha, the middle three fasts, you do say the extra brachas. So we assume that the first fast, you also say those brachas. If you say those brachas even in the first fast, it's not like the Gemara just explained. The Gemara just explained that tzibur, the difference between tzibur and yochid, regarding Aneinu, that the Yochid puts Aneinu into Shemir Tefillah and the Tzibur makes it a bracha on its own, and you suggested that it's talking about Tzibur in the first three fasts where the Shliach Tzibur says Aneinu and doesn't say the other brachas. Well, it's not true, because in the same way as in the second set of fasts you say the extra six brachas, you say it the same in the first set, in the first set of fasts as well. How do I know that? Because the braisa told us the differences between them and didn't say that one of the differences is the number of brachas. Says the Gemara, that's not a proof. It could be that tzibur means the first three fasts, that the first three fasts the shliach tzibur says aneinu and doesn't say the other six brachas, and in the middle fasts they do say the six brachas. You can ask a question, why didn't the braisa say that's one of the differences? Ton of a shire, because the braisa mentioned some of the differences and didn't mention all the differences. It left some of the differences aside. One of the differences that were left aside was the number of brachas. Says the Gemara, my shire, the high shire, the braisas and mishnayas never leave out just one detail. If they leave out, they leave out a number of details. So the Gemara is saying, find me another detail, another difference between the first three fasts and the second three fasts, that there's a difference between them that's not mentioned in the braisa, and then I'll understand that it could be that the number of brachas is also a difference that was not mentioned. Vasu, and another question the Gemara is saying, v'ha'ein bein katoni, from the words ein bein seems to tell us that there's really no other differences. Elo, says the Gemara, tono b'isurei kamaira, this braisa is only talking about isurim, what you're not allowed to do and what you are allowed to do on a fast day. B'tfilos lo kamaira, the topic, the content of this braisa is not discussing the tefillas. So just because the braisa says there's no difference doesn't mean that regarding tefillas there isn't a difference. In Isurim there's no difference, in tefillas there could well be a difference. That would be one answer. V'iboy same, another suggestion would be that b'emtzi'isa nami lo matzli, that even in the second set of fasts they would not say the extra six brachas. Lo matzli chov dalad, they wouldn't add on the extra six brachas. And if so, indeed, ein bein, there's no difference between the first three fasts and the second three fasts, that in both of them you don't say the extra brachas. And then the answer we said before, that the difference between yochid and tzibur is that a yochid puts aneinu into shemia tefillah and the tzibur has the bracha of aneinu, is talking about shliach tzibur. Talking about shliach tzibur in the first set of fasts and the second set of fasts, and it's only the third set of fasts where you add on the extra six brachas. Says the Gemara, V'loi, are you really suggesting that in the middle fasts they did not say the extra six brachas? V'otanya, we learned explicitly in a braisa, And now we're talking about another Ein Bein, but this time we're talking about Ein Bein not between the first three fasts and the second three fasts, rather the difference between the second three fasts and the last seven. Ein Bein Gimel Shniyos L'Shev Achronos. There's no difference between the stringency of the middle three fasts and the seven final fasts, Elo Sheba'elu, regarding the final fasts, Masriin, they would blow the shofar, V'Noelin Esachanuyos, they would lock the shops. But, and that didn't apply to the second set of fasts. So we deduce from here that besides for those two details, the blowing of the shofar and the locking the gates of the windows of the shops, they're both the same. And in the same way as in the last set of fasts, we definitely add on the extra brachas. It's going to be explicit later on. So it would seem from here that the middle fast, you also say that you also mention the brachas. If so, how can you say that regarding the brachas, the first set of fasts and the second fast are the same? You don't say it in either, as we just suggested. That can't be. V'chitayman, are you going to say hachanami tonavashayr? Are you going to say that in this second brisa there's other things that are not mentioned, other differences between the second set of fasts and the third set of fasts that are not mentioned, and then it could be that like those are not mentioned, neither is the number of brachas mentioned, and indeed there is a difference between the two, and in the second set of fasts you don't say the extra six brachas, and the third set of fasts you do? Ha'ein bein katoni. Again, the Gemara is saying from the words ein bein, it doesn't seem that there's any differences at all. Says the Gemara, no. Batisbara ein bein dafka. The Gemara says this, that you're assuming that the words ein bein means there's no other differences. We're not accepting that, because in this, regarding this brisa, it's explicit. We know there's something that's not mentioned in the brisa that's clearly a difference between the two sets of fasts. Voshayer teva, removing the Orin with the Sefer Torah out into the public, into the Rechovo Shalir, into the square of the city, for everybody to see, as we've learned and we're going to learn more about soon, later on, where there's clearly a difference, that in the second set of fasts, it's not mentioned. And the third set of fasts, you do take out the Teva. So you see that there's something which has been left out from the Ein Bein. So in the same way as Teva was left out, so too the number of brachas were left out, and it could well be that that's another difference, that in the second set of fasts, you don't say the six brachas. Says the Gemara, no. It could be that Ein Bein means there's no difference, and therefore in the second set of fasts, you do say the extra six brachas. You're asking me how can you say there's absolutely no difference when we know there's a difference regarding the Teva? Imishum Teva lav shiuru. It's not called that it's omitted from the Braisa. Why? Because the Teva is in a different bracket. Milid etznia katoni. The Braisa is only talking about things that are done in private, like blowing the shofar, which you do inside the shul, the extra brachas you do inside the shul. However, taking out the orin into a public place, milid farhesi leiktoni, removing the teva into the city square, that was not something that they did. That was something they did in public. Since it was done in public, this brisa is not talking at all about anything that was done in public, and therefore teva is not called an exception, and therefore ein bein is absolute. And since the brachas is a private thing, it's not done in the streets, in the public, it's done in the shul, therefore if it's not mentioned, we assume there's no difference, and therefore we would assume from this brisa that in the second set of fasts, we do say the extra six brachas, not like we saw before. Omer Ravashi, Ravashi is saying that you just now suggested in the brisa that there's no difference whatsoever in private things between the second set of fasts and the third set of fasts. And the same way as the third set of fasts, you say the extra six brachas, so too regarding the second set of fasts. Says Ravashi, Masnisin Nami Daika, I'll bring you proof from that, from a Mishnah we learnt on Daf Yud Beis. Diktoni, we learnt in the Mishnah, Ma Eilu Yaseiris Al Arishonis, what is the stringencies between the final set of fasts and the middle set of fasts, the earlier sets of fasts? Elo Shebe'elu, in the third set of fasts, Masriin, we blow the shofar, V'noelin Esachanuyos, and you lock the gates of the shops. Aval B'chol Devrem, Zevu Zeshov, in the Mishnah, doesn't mention any other difference. So from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention that the difference, ma'ilu yaseiris al harishonis, that the difference, the stringency of the last set of fasts is that you say the six brachas and not in the middle set of fasts, it seems from the Mishnah that even in the middle set of fasts, you say the six brachas. V'chi teima, are you going to suggest, hochanami tonavashayr, that it could be that the Mishnah is omitting other halachas, and therefore possibly the Mishnah omitted this halacha as well, and therefore you don't have proof from the fact that it's not mentioned in the Mishnah that indeed it's not one of the differences. Says the Gemara Baha, ma'elu katonu. It seems from the words ma'elu as if what are the only differences between the final set of fasts and all the others? And it doesn't mention the number of brachas. It doesn't seem that there's any other differences. Says the Gemara of Tisburu, ma'elu dafkahu, are you suggesting that the word ma'elu means there's no other difference? We know there's another difference that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, and that is, like we said before, taking the teva out into the city square. And that's not mentioned, so it must be that the words ma'elu is not absolute, and therefore in the same way as the teva is not mentioned, possibly the difference in the number of brachas is not mentioned, and then you don't have proof from the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, imishum teva, if you're worrying about teva, so the Gemara here could have answered that, like we said before, that the Mishnah is talking about things done in private, not talking about things that are done in public, like the Gemara said before. But the Gemara chose to say a difference here and say, lav shiurahu, mishum de kachoshev le be'idoch pirka. No, because don't say that the Mishnah doesn't mention the fact that they took out the teva into the city square, and therefore we see that the Mishnah's got some exclusions that are not included. No, it's not excluded. Keep learning in the next perek, later on in the Masechta, we're going to see that the teva is mentioned. And since the teva is mentioned there, it doesn't need to be mentioned here. And therefore, there's the fact that the teva is not mentioned is not called an exclusion. So if it says here that there's no exclusion, ma'elu yaseiris, which seems there's no exclusion, and the Gemara doesn't say that the brachas is one of the differences, it would seem that you say the brachas even in the middle fasts. Says the Gemara, hashta da'osis la'ochi, once you're saying that the fact that a halacha is mentioned later on in the Masechta is not considered an omission, then estrim va'arba nami, regarding the number of brachas, nami lav shiuro, it's also not considered that it's missed out. Diktoni lo b'idach pirka, because it's mentioned explicitly regarding the third set of fasts, it's mentioned later on in the Mishnayos. In which case, if it's not considered omitted, then it could well be that it's one of the differences. And indeed, at this point in the Gemara, and this is the final stage of the Gemara, that indeed the brachas, the extra six brachas, are only said on the last fasts and not on the middle three fasts and not in the first three fasts. And since we do not say the brachas, the extra six brachas at all in the middle three fasts or the first three fasts, coming back to the original Gemara that we saw, that Ein Bein Gimel Roshoynes LeGimel Emtzoyos, there also there's no difference between those first two sets of fasts. In both, we do not say the extra six brachas. If so, when it comes back to what we started with, that the Yochid who says that we saw that there's a tzibur that says the Anenu Bracha as a bracha on its own, and we weren't sure what does Tzibur mean, because of Yitzchok said that a private person davening never adds a bracha, so we suggested it's the Shliach Tzibur, and we asked a question, if it's the Shliach Tzibur, that's not the extra one bracha, it's an extra six brachas. The answer is no. The answer is that the first set of fasts, as well as the second set of fasts, there's no extra six brachas. It's only one extra bracha that the Shliach Tzibur has a bracha on its own. Between Goel Yisrael, or Goel Yisrael and Rafa'enu, there we add in the bracha of Anenu. When the private person is davening on a fast day, he says Anenu in Shema Keilenu. Says the Gemara, Mai Hava Alo. What's now the conclusion? Where do you say the bracha of Anenu? Omer Shmuel Bar Sesaratai, V'chein Omer of Chia Bar Ashi Omarav, Bein Goel L'Roifa, you say it between Goel Yisrael and Rafa'enu, Ravashi Oma Mishmeid Rav Yanei Bereid Rav Yishmoel B'Shemeh Tfila. And this is talking about a private person on a public fast day, on a private person, where does he say the Aneinu? He says it in Shemea Tfilo, V'hilchasa b'Shemea Tfilo, and the halacha is that you say it in Shemea Tfilo. It's only the Shliach Tzibur, he says the Aneinu in as a bracha on its own between Goyel L'Roifa, and as we saw before. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.